Okay. I know last week talked about we grow up, we end up dysfunctional, either through our own poor choices or things that happen to us, whatever. Life is kind of like that. We all slide into the darkness and then we just get worse. We wax worse and worse, reaping what we're sowing, or like I said, things may be done to us where we live, or we just talked about an earthquake. A whole bunch of people were affected by that, and many of them died. Many were injured. Happens in a second, too, just seconds. I actually was doing my Zoom study with Van Rue over there. He lives in Puyallup, and we were talking about that earthquake because it happened earlier, the big one. All of a sudden, he goes, "Brother," and his place was shaking. He was ready to dive out a window or something. He said, "Earthquake," and then it settled down. I saw later on the news that aftershock was 6. That's a pretty good aftershock. So right there talking with him, he going through that. He's a Christian, right? I'll say it happens to all of us living down here. In fact, one time I was zooming with him on there, and bam, 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 and he's jumping around, and because I couldn't tell what it was, it sounded like somebody hitting something. He says, "Brother, that's gunfire." Because, they got a civil war going on. I go, "Man, where's your wife and kids?" He said, "They're downstairs." I said, "Well, go. Go make sure they're all right." And he's a different guy to do Bible studies with. Gunshots, earthquakes, I don't know what's next. It's a messed up world. But, when we go through the difficulties, what we brought out last week, we have an old saying in this world that time can heal all wounds. We question that. Basically, I think we have a scriptural conclusion that says, no, it doesn't. You can adapt. We get to a point of acceptance and whatever, but it doesn't result in automatic joy, peace, or hope. That doesn't put you back on your feet just because the hostilities stop or whatever happened. You could have just, most people probably lost whole families in that deal yesterday. What are others going to feel if they're related to them? They ain't coming back. Maybe some people ended up paralyzed in the injuries, getting trapped in these buildings. Is everything going to be fine now just because the thing quit quaking and shaking? No, it's just going to begin now for some people, the aftershocks of that trauma and those things. So no, time does not heal. And I said, this is the deal. You can look out there and you can see the stuff going on out there. But the one thing you're not going to be able to escape is your own self, inside your own skin. What am I mean by that? In Colossians 1:21, the Apostle Paul, speaking to Christians, says, "And you who once were alienated," which means you're separated from God, "enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he," God, "has reconciled." You were alienated, separated from God, enemies of God. What in your mind? The only problem people have with God isn't what they look like, the color of their skin, how much money they got, None of those physical things about us is where we got a problem with our God. The problem occurs in the human mind, in your mind. He said, that's where you are enemies, by wicked works, because whatever goes on in your head comes out in your actions. we demonstrate. Your body don't do nothing that the mind hasn't decided it's going to do. Your body's actually neutral, the physical body. It's made of dust. It's just made of dirt. It's not evil, contrary to what Gnostics think. The human body was not evil. Jesus had a human body. It wasn't evil. But I don't want to get into their crazy doctrines of he couldn't have been really human because flesh is evil. No, it's not. Our problem comes from our wicked minds, our thoughts. And then it translates into behavior, and then it's bad things. Well, he says, but he's reconciled us. Of course, that is going to and is through Christ. It's in Romans chapter 8, a powerful book, Romans chapter 8. I like how Paul really drives home the point. Verse 5, he says, those who live according to their flesh sets their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit or set their mind on things of the Spirit, that's polar opposites. The mindset. Who gets to choose where our minds are set? To the flesh or to the Spirit? We do. Said it many times, say it again. Who gets to decide where you spend eternity? Whether you go into an outer darkness somewhere where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm died not and the fire's never quenched, or heaven itself with God and holy angels. Who actually gets to make that decision where the individual human being is concerned? The human does. Why? Some people think, well, God does. God gave us the free will to choose. Where do you want to go, guys? And according to your desire, that's where you're going to be. Because 2 Peter 3, Peter says, God has already decided he does not want anyone to perish. And he tells us that in Ezekiel 18, God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked people. He wants them to turn, repent, live with him forever. So, those who live according to their flesh, now, again, remember we just established, when he says flesh, he's not talking about your skin and bones. That is neutral. The word here is the sarx. It's the carnal mind. It's the mind, the fleshly mindset to the flesh, and it's going to be wicked. Only a mind that is set to the Spirit is going to be moving in that onward, upward direction, and that's the part of us. Remember, the Bible teaches us that human beings consist of mind, body, soul, and spirit. The soul is a decider. That's the one that takes in the information and makes decisions based on the information. That's where your free will resides. It's going to be in the soul. Because the soul that sins, it shall die. So we, because of good God's giving us this free will, that decision is made by the individual whether to set his mind to the flesh or set his mind to the spiritual things. Because he says the fleshly mindset, verse 6 is clear, is death. That's where that leads. Carnal mind is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We are to be renewed, the Bible says in Ephesians 4. We'll probably see it later. We be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Because the mind was set to the flesh before. Remember 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about it's not the spirit stuff that comes first. It's the flesh, the physical. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, the physical is first, then the spiritual. And that makes sense. It has to go that way. When you're children and you're innocent, it's not because you're spiritual. The children are innocent because they're clueless, having no knowledge of good or evil. That's what the tree in the midst of the garden was all about. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Partake of that, you die. Adam and Eve weren't made little kids. They were full size. So coming to the knowledge of good and evil, that's when sin will occur by your own choice, of which you are now responsible and accountable for, and that will separate you. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 said it happened to him. He said, I was alive without the law once, or apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. I just said it because I'm looking right at it, because I'm still in chapter 8. Chapter 7 is right there. Verse 9. That's what he's talking about. He died the death of Adam and Eve. He dropped dead. He's still writing. So, continuing what Paul's saying here and then Romans 8, verse 7, because the fleshly mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. God's spirit cannot communicate with that side of the human. The fleshly mind can't take it, doesn't hear it, counts it as foolishness. The spirit of God, well, it's right here too, didn't read it yet. Don't let me jump ahead. Dode, stay on track here. The carnal mind, fleshly mind, is enmity against God, not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be, so that those that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, he's not talking skin and bones. We're all in the flesh, and so are they. When he's talking to them, they're still here in human, physical. That's not what he's talking about. Those who remain unregenerated in the flesh, not born again, cannot please God. But you, Christian, he's talking to Christians in verse 9, you're not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone don't have Spirit of Christ, ain't his, period. That's just a fact. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 3, you must be born again if you want to go to heaven. Jesus said, I got to change your nature. You got to be born of water and spirit, the little s on that, from the Holy Spirit. That's the part of the man that has to be renewed, jump-started. Without being born again, you are unregenerated and in the flesh. You'd be a nice guy. You could be a great guy. I've known people I've liked. You know, I've had friends that are completely crazy. But there's no salvation. There is no other name under heaven by which people must be saved. That name is Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the one that said you got to be born again if you want to go to heaven. We've got to change you from a physical man to a spiritual man. And then that's not the end of it all. That is only a beginning. When you're born again, then the metaphor starts all over again, showing we're babies, literally, just like when we were born as babies, physical babies, human babies. Now you're a spiritual baby and just about as clueless. Because all this information you cannot know intuitively. In other words, you don't just get it by getting older. Time will not transform your mind. You can get smarter. You can make space shuttles. You know, you can do all kinds of cool things like that. Send up rockets and catch them. We got all kinds of great technology. Send something up to Mars, let it drive around, take pictures. Send the pictures back here. Woo! But there's no salvation in that. So you're smart and you go to hell. Smartest guy in hell, man. I don't know what that's going to get you. Job found out real fast. You ain't smarter than God. He really was trying to ponder why he was going what he was going through, and he mentioned a couple of times, you know, I would just like to talk to God if I could. You know, I'd sure like to have a little discussion with my Maker. He never found fault with God. That makes it clear. He wasn't criticizing God. He just wanted to talk about it. So at the end of the book of Job, I think it's personally kind of funny. So God appears to him in the whirlwind. He says, stand on your feet. Gird yourself like a man. Want to talk? Let's talk. God started firing questions at old Job about the creation and how this and all this and that. And the more, and then Job was like, oh, man, what the heck was I thinking? Shut my head in the dough. Put my hand over my mouth. You can't have a conversation with God. Not like that. He just wanted to talk. But God was like, you know what? This is way above your pay grade. You would not... Job did not know he was in a spiritual tug of war between incredible power in the heavenly, a spiritual host of wickedness. The battle was way beyond what Job could have even known. We know because we got the whole revelation. We see the whole picture. Those in the flesh cannot please God. And you choose what mindset you'll have, things above or things of the earth. We're told to choose wisely. We're dysfunctional when we come through this process at the first. We are actually separated and we are enemies in our minds. That's why we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind to get on the right track. To get on the right track. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in Ephesians chapter 2. We were all separated from God, dead in our trespasses and sins. That's Ephesians chapter 2, writing to the Christians. And you, he said, he made you alive. You were dead in trespasses and sins. We know from Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, that it's man's sin that separates him from God. His ear's not heavy that he can't hear, Isaiah said. His arm is not so short that he can't save. But your iniquities, your sins have separated you between you and your God, and he will not hear. The blind guy even said, and Jesus opened his eyes, and the Pharisees were grilling him in Big John chapter 9, and they're accusing Jesus of being a sinner. And the blind man said, well, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. I know one thing. I was blind, now I can see. And he says, and we know God don't hear sinners. But if anyone be a worshiper of God and a doer of his will, him he hears. How can this man never have been told or heard of that one would open the eyes of a blind man? God don't hear sinners. But he ain't deaf. He can hear. But he ain't going to respond. Sin separates. Unless you start searching for God. That, he hears that. He sees that. He searches the hearts. And if he realizes, okay, got me a live one here, dispatches some angels, got examples of it, make it happen. Aye, sir. And guess who they send? The likes of you, me, pass cross, good things happen. But you were separated, but he made you alive, born again. You were once walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. You were following the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. He said, we've all been there and did that. Among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and of the mind we were by nature, just naturally children of wrath. Just as others. Look, we all did what was right in our own eyes. We sowed the wind and we reaped the whirlwind. What do you do when you're in that now? You're stuck. You can't save yourself. and the information that we need that will save us to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our soul. This is the word. It's in the Bible. Wonder if you didn't know nothing about a Bible. Wonder if you never read a Bible. No wonder if you were never taught. You cannot know this information. You can't get it anywhere else. That's the word of God. It can save us. We're to receive with meekness this engrafted word. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, you've purified your souls when you obeyed the truth, the word of God, the incorruptible seed. But if you don't have it, didn't know it. But see, if you ask, Jesus is the one that said this, if you ask, you will receive. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, it will be opened to you. So don't think that just because maybe there was a time in your life or someone else's you know, and you know they don't know this stuff. People need to hunger. They need to thirst. They need to ask. They need to knock, seek and knock. And they will find. It'll open. God will provide it. He's the one that looks down from heaven. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless my Father draw them. And it says very clearly, God does look down from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. And he does fashion their hearts individually. So don't think that just because somebody you know didn't know this, and you know maybe they died, they perished, and you don't want to believe that they were lost because, well, they didn't know. You read the Bible, you realize there is no excuse because they do know. They can know if they want to know. If they don't, they won't. That's their choice. God is good, and he's kind, and he is not willing any should perish. Our healing can only come if we go to the great physician, just like we saw last week in Isaiah chapter 6. Jesus said the people got eyes, but they can't see, and ears, and they can't hear, because they've closed their eyes, they've shut up their ears, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and come to me and be healed. That's up to them. That's up to you and me. You had to do that. If you're in the Lord, I had to. It just gets better. Better every day, brighter. More and more. More light in, darkness goes out. Strength. Strength in the inner man. Strengthening the inner man. Where we can now, through him, do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Not to run faster, jump higher, but to excel still more, stronger, conforming into his very likeness by his power, our faith, his power, perfect plan. If you go to Ephesians 4, I like this. In Ephesians chapter 4, it tells us, this I say, verse 17, and testifying the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of the mind. I think we were talking over there earlier. Not only are we commanded to come out of that, it's expected. It's expected. God gives you the power to do it, so what's the hang up? This isn't done by your power. So no more are we supposed to walk like we did when we was Gentiles in the futility of the mind. Here was the problem. The reason why we're enemies in our mind is because our thoughts were futile. We had no knowledge. Our understanding was dark. We were actually alienated from the life of God. That's what we saw back in Colossians 1:27, alienated from God by wicked works, enemies in our minds. So you were separated, alienated from the life of God because of what? Ignorance. What's the solution for ignorance? Knowledge. The ignorance that's in them because of what? Blindness. Of what? Their heart. That's the mind. Blind. Well, if you're blind, you can't see, right? You're in darkness and you're ignorant. Following just the desires of the flesh, following the devil, compelled actually. I think most people that I know, they've done a lot of dumb stuff, but you just felt like it seemed like a good idea at the time, officer. Right. Can't believe you did that. And then did it again. And again. And again. A dog wouldn't do that. I mean, I'm not going there. When you were past feeling, you gave yourself over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's, you went right off the rails. That is a dim or a pretty bad picture of a human experience. But I like this part. But you have not so learned Christ this way now for ourselves and who we are to be. If indeed, verse 21 says, if indeed you've heard him, have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. If you've heard him and been taught by him, Paul writes here, I'm going to come right back to that. But he said that you now, if you've been taught by Jesus, you know you got to be putting off concerning the former conduct, that old man, that's where you just came from. It's just growing more and more corrupt according to the deceitful law. So if you don't make the change, you ain't going to get better naturally. You are going to wax worse and worse. He said you need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's where the problem started out. We saw it when we first began. Paul said you were enemies, alienated enemies in your mind. There's no other part of the human being that can be hostile toward God. It isn't what you look like, what country you're from, anything physical about you at all. It's not your problem with God. It's the mind. The mindset to the flesh will accomplish and do, perform the things according to the flesh, and it'll be bad. Wicked works, wicked works. And that results in death. That is a fact. That's not a theory. That's a law. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. True righteousness and holiness, according to God. Created according to God. This is going to work. This is going to work. This is God's plan, man. If you want it, if you want it, you got it. This will heal you. This is when the eyes open and you'll see and you'll live forever. This is where the ears open up and you can hear and believe and you will live forever. You were unclean, now you're cleansed. You was dead, you're alive. Alive. This is what God's doing for us. I said I was going to come back to this. I want you to notice something here. You don't need to turn the page. You can go to Matthew 15 if you want to. You remember that Gentile woman crying out to Jesus? She's Gentile, but she's got this demon-possessed daughter, so she keeps crying out to him because she wants her daughter healed. Wouldn't you? Verse 22, Matthew 15 and 22, and behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region. She cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he didn't answer her a word. And the disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, Lord. She's driving us nuts. She cries out after us. And he answered and said, I was not sent only except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I wasn't sent to Gentiles. She's Gentile. They're like, well, send her away. You know, he wasn't there to help Gentiles. So she cries out. She came, she worshiped. That means she threw herself down. That's proskuneo. She prostrated herself right on the ground. And she said, Lord, help me. Man, she wasn't going to take no for an answer. You know, Jesus just can't resist great faith. Here it comes. Here it comes. He answered, said, look, it wouldn't be good for me to take the children's bread, throw it to the little dogs. She said, yes, Lord, but even little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master table. And Jesus answered, said, her, old woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you believed. And her daughter was healed that very hour. He just couldn't resist. Just couldn't resist this demonstration of great faith. And she's a Gentile. Just like the Roman centurion, Cornelius, Gentile. Jesus said, I had not found such great faith in all of Israel. Couldn't resist. Now, Ephesians 2. Guess who these Ephesians are? Gentiles. 2:11, Ephesians 2:11. Remember, Paul said, you were once Gentiles in the flesh who were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision made in the flesh by hand. Before, you were separated. You were separated, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers of the covenant, of the promise, having no hope without God in this world. You Gentiles. Now he's sitting there talking about you Gentile Ephesians. If indeed you've heard him now, if you've been taught by Jesus, the truth is in Jesus. We've already established from the Bible Jesus didn't teach Gentiles. That wasn't his ministry. He wasn't sent to them. So how can Paul, by the Holy Spirit, inspired scripture, is challenging us, if you've heard Jesus, if you've been taught by him, because guess what? You have. And so have I. All the apostles and the prophets acknowledge that everything they were saying was from God. The Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians 14:37, if anybody considers himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that what I'm writing to you are the commandments of the Lord. Galatians chapter 1, he said, I was not taught this by anybody. Not even from the other apostles, he said. He's pretty specific. But by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He who was taken, Paul said, to the third heaven. He refers to this guy. First he said, in the body, out of the body. I don't know a new man like that. Won't. You read that in 2 Corinthians 12. Guess who the one that was taken to the third heaven that received the revelation? Him. Him. Brethren, we've been taught by Jesus, every one of us. And take that personally. When you read this, you're not reading the Apostle Paul. When you're reading in 1 Peter, whatever, you're not hearing Peter. You're not hearing John. You're not hearing Elijah, even Moses. You are hearing God. That's what this, it's from the Holy Spirit. Who you think the Holy Spirit is? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. Jesus said, I'm coming back. He did. In the agency of the Holy Spirit. Who is now, we didn't read it, Colossians 1:27. The mystery is, it's Christ in you now. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Galatians 2:20. It's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. The life I live, actually live in my flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm crucified with Christ, but yet I'm alive. Man, that's hard for us to wrap our physical pea brains around, but that is what it says, and we need to get the picture. He is teaching us, but he's teaching you personally. And you can have as much of this as you want because it's up to you. It's up to you. Nobody can give you this by osmosis. Putting your Bible under your pillow ain't going to do it either. You literally got to open up and read the thing. Now notice what Paul says again. Right there in Ephesians chapter 3. Maybe all you got to do is turn a page back. Verse 2, Ephesians 3 and 2, the Apostle Paul said, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I briefly written, pay attention to that, written in a few words, he wrote it down, written, briefly written already. Now, which when you read, which he means when you read what I wrote, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ, which in the other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it's now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. And now to make, verse 9 says, to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages was hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be known by the church to the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 Peter 1 tells us angels actually wanted to look into these things. They didn't know it either. Not till the fullness of time, now the angelic realm understands, because it's about their judgment and ours. This is big. Right, Job, stand on your feet. You want to talk? You won't get this. This would be revealed in the fullness of time, and this is it. Paul said, this information God gave to me by revelation, I wrote it down. Now when you read what I wrote, now you understand, you have my understanding. He's teaching you and I personally. This is our healing. If we can see it, if our eyes are open, if our ears can hear. Time will never bring a person to this. Just living long on this earth. Why do you think living 700, 800, 900 years didn't change them people? You just learned how to do better what you did worse. You get better at it. And more wicked. You don't become more righteous because you live 500, 600, 700, 800, 900 years. Time does not fix this stuff. The Apostle Paul put it this way. I'm turning a page over here to Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, he said, verse 10, and you have put on the new man, talking to Christians, put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to what? The image, the character of the one who made him. Renewed through what? Knowledge into the same likeness. His character. That's all because the information is in this book that came down from heaven to apostles and prophets in the first century by the Holy Spirit. They unpackaged it, and here it is. We can read this now, know that, get that information. It goes into our mind, into our brain housing group, because human beings are designed, their minds are designed by God. Instead of set to the wicked works, enemies of God, by the exercise of our free will, desiring to be made whole, which means to be healed, we can come to God and he will abundantly pardon if you're serious. He'll accept that repentance. You can come to him. He'll open that door of opportunity that we can't miss it. This is all part of his grand design. There's not one person on this earth that's going to have any excuse on how in the world they missed this boat. It's just not possible. Closing up here, I'm going back to Luke 4 for a quick second, and then I'm going to grab also 2 Corinthians 6. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus went into his hometown synagogue. We read it last week, and he got the scroll. They handed it to him out of Isaiah. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's appointed me to preach the good news to the poor, poor in the spirit, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, the dysfunctional, proclaim liberty to captives, captive in sin and death, recovery of sight to the blind, eyes that couldn't see now can see, eyes of the understanding, and to be set at liberty those who are oppressed, free from ourselves. You'll know the truth, Jesus said. Truth sets you free. They said, free from what? He said, you're sinning? You're a slave of sin. Slaves don't abide in the house forever, but only a son. If the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. We're our own worst enemy. We're our own worst enemy. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Closes the book, gives it back to the attendant, sits down, everybody in the synagogue's looking at him, and then he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And they're stunned. They're like, what'd he say? They know that's messianic. He said, it's fulfilled. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is fulfilled in your hearing. Oh, it goes south real fast. Literally, they took him out of the synagogue and tried to throw him over a cliff. I think I shared before when I did that Holy Land thing. We came out of Nazareth, and the way they went out, they said, now look over your shoulder, because we were leaving the city. When you looked over your shoulder, you saw the edge of the cliff. They said that's where they tried to throw him off. That is quite a drop. But the Apostle Paul affirms the same thing as we close up here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Well, I should start in verse 17. I know Blaine read it this morning. Anyone, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Anyway, therefore, anyone in Christ, he's a whole new creation. That whole potential that you have is now unlocked. You're made for this. All people are made for this. You become a new creation. If you're born again, immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, you now belong to God. You are considered not in the flesh anymore, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. And if anyone don't have the Spirit of Christ, it ain't his. And if the Spirit of Him raised up, who raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, it makes alive, spiritually alive, your mortal body. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And now, all things are of God, who now has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. No longer enemies in our mind with wicked works. We got a whole new potential, a whole new path to run on. And now he makes a comparison that we are all now also ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore people to, on Christ's behalf, to be reconciled to God. That's what we do in sharing. Go ye into all the world and preach good news to them. You're representatives, and take the word of God to them. Now, chapter 6. We then, as workers together with him, plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, Paul said, now is that acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Jesus said, this scripture, this is the acceptable time. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord, Jesus said, that scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And the Apostle Paul affirms the exact same thing. This is the acceptable time. And in the day of salvation, the prophecy says, I have helped you. And Paul said, this is that day. This is that acceptable time. This is for all people, for all time. This day. This is the way a person is going to be healed, to begin that process. Time will never do it. It's an act of your will. God has already said what His will is, that we not perish, but that we come to the knowledge of the truth. That He's glorified then in our lives, and we receive the victory that overcome the world, even our faith. This is how He's glorified, and we receive the victory. What a plan. So be blessed. Today's that day. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed with a word of prayer.